preach a short message. Now, I can preach a short message, and I have before, and but I do want to mind the Lord, and I realize you've already been here almost an hour, but I want to bring just a short message tonight, and hope it'll be a blessing and a help. I mentioned to our young people, and especially that I would like for them to be here tonight, and I even announced the title to the message this morning that I would want to, if the Lord would let me, to preach on the subject of blessings on your blessings. Blessings on your blessings. And school's getting ready to start back. And I've been thinking this summer about preaching something along these lines to help our young people and be a blessing to them. And so we're just going to read a couple of verses here. And then I'm going to share with you just a few things, more of a little Bible study tonight, because we're going to turn some different places. But just to think for a few minutes tonight on the subject of blessings on your blessings. Let's pray, and then we'll read the scripture. Father, we come tonight, and I want to thank you, Lord, for the safe trip that Sister Caitlin and their team had as they went to China. And Lord, we pray for the fruit that they were able to sow there. Lord, we don't know what you might be doing in somebody's heart, even tonight, that they would think about the gospel and they would think about the Lord Jesus Christ and they would think about their need. Lord, we think about the Christians that are there in China and how different it is from how we live, Lord, but that they might have more boldness to share thy truth with their countrymen. And Lord, I pray you'd help us here, that we'd have a greater burden to share the gospel with those that live round about us. And Lord, I pray you'd take the message tonight and just use it to speak to our hearts. And Lord, we do pray for our young people. We pray for them as they start back to school. And Lord, we pray that we'd learn something tonight that'd help us, Lord, in our lives and, Lord, in the year ahead and just as we all go forward, Lord, that we might serve you and live for you. And I need your help, and I pray you'd speak to our hearts. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's read Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. You'll give me a few minutes tonight, and I pray it'll be a help and a blessing to you. But I've just had these verses on my mind, and we're going to look a lot tonight in the book of Proverbs, or few places tonight in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and verse number 10. Notice what the Bible says. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If you look in chapter 1, verse number 8, now you've probably noticed this before, but in chapter 1, verse number 8, after his short introduction there, he said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Chapter 2, in verse number 1, he said, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. Chapter 3, in verse number 1, he said, my son, forget not my law. Chapter 4 in verse 1, he said, hear ye children the instruction of a father. Chapter 5 verse 1, he said, my son, attend unto my wisdom. Chapter 6 verse 1, he said, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend. Chapter 7 verse 1, he said, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Now Solomon, he wrote the book of Proverbs, he had a great deal of information that he wanted to convey to his children. If we just listen to the Word of God, there's all we need to know to get through this life. And you can study it till you're an old person, and you'll still be finding things in the Word of God. Later on, when Solomon was older, he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He said, while you're young, you need to remember the Lord. While you are a youth, you need to remember who made you. He said, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So he said, remember God while you're young. Serve God while you're young. Don't wait till you get old to serve the Lord. You ought to be interested. You ought to be involved. You ought to be anxious to be involved and to hear the words of God while you're young. Now, being young is hard. Growing up, best I remember, I mean, it's been a few years. But you know, people say sometimes, they say, well, I'd love to be young again. Buddy, not me. I'll just take where I am from here on out. And I have no desire to really go back and live my younger years over and all like that. Because I'm telling you, being a young person is, as best I remember, one of the most difficult times of my life. You're learning, you're growing, you're becoming an adult. Being a young person is not an easy thing. We visited with Kim's Mamaw Tester last Sunday afternoon, and she is going to be 98 years old this month. And she says a lot of times if you go over and visit with her and talk to her, she says, boy, young people, she says that, she said, when I was growing up, there was not anything much to get into. But she said, now young people, they have so much. It's tough being a young person. Under the best of circumstances, it's tough being a young person. But being a young person will be a whole lot easier if you follow the principles in the Word of God. You'll really be glad one of these days that you did. And so we're going to see some principles in the Word of God. We live in an uncertain world. We live in a world that is more uncertain than it was when I was growing up and becoming an adult just a few years ago. We live in a world that is uncertain financially, economically, spiritually speaking. There's a lot of question mark on tomorrow. What's tomorrow going to be like? How are you young people going to make it? I think about when I was getting out of high school. They told us, they said, you go to school, especially they promoted going to college. They said, if you'll do that and you get out, you can do anything you want to. Well, there's a lot of promise. There was a lot of prospect. But now, you know what? It's not like that. It's not like it was just a few years ago. I was reading an article in the U.S. Journal from July. And it said this in that article about, is about young people and employment. And it said the United States has one of the highest rates of unemployment amongst 20 to 26 year olds in the world. That's hard for me to comprehend. That in our great nation, where once upon a time you could get a job, and if you didn't like that job, you could quit that job and you could go get another good job. Boy, now you just better be thankful if you've got a job doing anything. But in our nation, we have one of the highest unemployment rates among 20 to 26 year olds in the world. Well, that's a whole lot different from it was way it was just a few years ago. Nearly half of all those who are unemployed are under 34 years old. That article said, as for those who are hired, there is a huge gap between the expectations and paycheck realities. A survey by Accenture finds that more than 41% of recent U.S. college graduates are disillusioned, underemployed, and not using their college degrees in their work. Now, facts are tonight, you may go to college. There is all kinds of ways to go to college, but in America today, you could actually go to college, go in debt to go to college, and get out of college and not even make enough to pay your debt on your college bill. Now you talk about being depressing, that'd be depressing. But that's the day and time in which we are living in. It is economically, if you really pay attention and understand what is going on in our nation, and I'm not going to get into that tonight, but if you really look at the hard facts, it's a very bleak outlook, financially speaking. But biblical instruction will help you. Just because something might be bleak or something may look tough does not mean that it's impossible. And so I want to preach on blessings, on your blessings. Now, we're already blessed. You and I are blessed tonight. We have more blessings than we even realize. We got a good illustration, a good example tonight of what if you lived in another country. Can you imagine living in a country where people don't know how to cook? And ever, that astounds me. I guess if you wanted to eat, you'd have to go out on the street and find your favorite vendor to get your hot dog on a stick. And that might be a real dog on a stick. Not an Oscar Mayer. That might be Fido down the street. You know, really? Well, we're blessed. But I'm interested tonight, and I think you ought to be interested in blessings on your blessings. Now, if you have a piece of paper tonight, you ought to write this down. And at the top, you ought to put this, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9. If you want blessings on your blessings, you've already got. And that's what you're going to have if you're going to make it in this life, if you're going to be successful, you're going to have blessings on your blessings. And you ought to write this down. Honor the Lord. If I was going to advise young people and encourage you in this society that we live in today where there's so much uncertainty in the world, I would say, you know what you need to do first? In all that you do, you ought to honor the Lord. Make up your mind you're going to honor the Lord in all that you do. And you might underline H-O-N-O-U-R. You know what? If you are typing on a computer that and you spell H-O-N-O-U-R, you know what it'll do? It'll tell you you're spelling that wrong. You're not spelling that wrong. Now, the modern spelling is H-O-N-O-R. But the Bible spelling is H-O-N-O-U-R. And I just underline that in my Bible, and that reminds me where I learned these truths from. The old King James Bible. I like that. And he said, honor. H-O-N-O-U-R. Honor the Lord, the Bible says. And if you'll honor the Lord, and I'm going to give you a few things. You ought to honor the Lord in your finances. You say, preacher, I don't have no money. You're lying. You've got a little bit. You ought to honor the Lord with what you got. If you'd honor the Lord with your little bit, maybe God would give you a little bit more. Honor the Lord. Now, these verses are talking about with your substance, which we relate that to our money that we have. Your paycheck that you get. The Bible said, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So honor the Lord with your finances if you want blessings on your blessings. Now, you'll not learn this in high school and you'll not learn it in college. But I learned in Sunday school when I was a little boy that God will bless you if you'll tithe. Our Sunday school teacher taught us if you get a dollar and you'll give 10 cents, that's your tithe. Tithe is a tenth. Malachi chapter 3 verse number 10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there may be room enough to receive it.
I preached in a missions conference one time, and it was out west, and during the Sunday school hour, the preacher asked me if I'd let people ask questions, and the brother had a fellow there in his church. He wasn't a member, but he won't ask a question. So I said, "You got a question about anything I preached this week?" And immediately he started arguing with me about tithe and what the Bible said about tithe. Just as nicely as I could, I informed him that really, personally, I didn't care if he tithed or not. And I don't care if he tithes or not. And if we think that God needs our little pittance of a tithe, we don't know much about what God owns. He owns everything. And you know what? I mowed for Noah this week. He was working a lot of overtime. And I made $60. And so you know what I did this morning? I made sure before I come to church, the Bible said, honor the Lord with all thy substance. You know what I did? I made sure I had my tithe. Now Abigail helped me, and I gave her $20. I said, "You got a tithe on yours. I'm tithing on mine." Do you really think God needed $6? But you know what? If I'd have made $60,000 this week and I'd had a tithe of $6,000, do you know what? It'd have been just as easy for me to write a check for $6,000 as it was to put $6 in the plate, because you know what? I learned a long time ago, buddy, God will bless you if you'll tithe. And I'm not arguing with nobody. If you don't want tithe, I don't care if you tithe or not. But if you're interested in blessings on your blessings, you just take God at His word, and I'm putting it in there. And that's just a start. That really ought to just be a start for us. I mean, well, to be real technical, God will bless you if you'll tithe. And I thank the Lord when I got my first job and I went to First Union and I opened up a checking account, and I didn't make very much, but even way back then I learned that God's word said to tithe, and I was going to tithe. And so if I made $300, I'd tithe $30. That's a tenth. And so if you just learn that, God will bless you if you want blessings on your blessings back over the July 4th weekend, this past July. We woke up, and of course, if anything's going to tear up, it's going to tear up on Sunday or on a holiday, isn't it? And we got out of the bed, and Kim said something about, she said, "Stuff in this refrigerator's not very cold." And I got to looking at it and noticing it, and then she opened up the freezer, and there's water dripping out on the floor, and we said, "Oh, no, our refrigerator's blowed up." And here it is, July 4th, and what are we going to do? And we started getting what hadn't melted out and putting it downstairs and all those things. And boy, we thought the refrigerator's blowed up. And I got to calling around. I called the appliance man, and I talked him through, and I called Brother Stephen, and I was trying to find some help. You got to help me. Refrigerator's blowed up. What am I going to do? And I talked to one fellow, and he said, "You know what could have happened?" He said, "Somebody might have left the door open last night on the refrigerator." Somebody did. We hadn't figured out who. Nobody's confessed yet, so we blamed it on Chloe. Because, you know, she don't know what's going on a lot of times. But, you know, I told Kit, we got talking about that after that, and we said, you know what, in all of our married life, over 25 years now, we've never had a refrigerator to blow up. We've never had a washer and dryer to blow up. We've not been sick very much. We've not lived our lives in the doctor's office and all like that. And I told Kim, I said, "Boy, I'm thankful for that." I said, "But you know what?" I said, "I believe with all my heart that we put a whole lot of doctor's payments and a whole lot of refrigerators and a whole lot of washers and dryers in the offering plate, and God's blessed. And I'm not saying nothing about me, but I'm telling you, God will bless you if you'll tithe. You young people, nothing about me, but I'm telling you, I learned that as a child. Honor the Lord with your finances. He will bless you if you'll do that. So, if you want blessings on your blessings, tithe. I'm doing all right. Look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7. I was just looking. I make long introductions and then I get faster as I go. And then I promise you when I'm done, I'm going to be done. I'm going to sit down. Because I appreciate that too. But now, if you want blessings on your blessing, tithe. And then if you want blessings on your blessings, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 7, you need to memorize and underline this verse. The Bible says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You want blessings on your blessings, watch your debt. Watch your debt as a young person. The greatest enemy to you having a stable, happy, financially secure future, the greatest enemy out there is debt. Debt makes a slave out of you. That's what the Bible says. If you live your life in debt, you will never get ahead. Never, never, never. Debt will... it will hold you down your whole life if you let it. You better watch debt in your life. When I was in the Air Force, they had an easy credit plan. They called it DPP, the Delayed Payment Plan. Our preacher back then called it the Devil's Payment Plan. Because when people got enough rank to go in there and give them a little credit, and they go buy a television or they go buy something like that, boy, they come crying later on. Oh, I've got this big payment. I don't hardly have enough to make it. I'm telling you, you want to know what it is to be poor, you ought to join the military. That's sad, but that's the way it is. You know, most of my life and probably most of the adults here probably has not paid as close attention to that as they should have. Because we grew up in a society, easy credit. If you don't have the money for it, you can have it now. You can take it home. You can pay for it. Credit has been real easy. But in this economy in the past few years, it's been harder and harder to get easy credit. That's probably going to be a good thing for you young people. But I would advise you tonight, you young people, you do not have to have and live by a credit card like a lot of people do. You're just going to live in bondage is all you're going to do. If you don't have the money in your pocket, you don't need it. That's an old-timey way that people used to live. If you don't have the money, you can't afford it. Just forget about it. Don't get in this trap of going in debt for everything and putting things on a credit card. Don't put clothes on a credit card. Don't put vacations on a credit card. Don't go to school on credit. Don't buy a car on credit. Don't do anything on credit. If you don't fast and pray 40 days, the Bible doesn't say not to buy anything on credit. But the Bible does say that the borrower is the servant to the lender. If you're ready to be a slave, go ahead. But you'll be a slave to it. And so there's much warning in the Bible. I'm just covering some very basic things in along these lines. The Bible said in Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. That'd be a good way to live. Don't go along buying things on credit. Tithe, watch your debt. Look at chapter 24 and verse 27. Chapter 24 and verse 27 says this. And you can put down, if you're taking notes, you can put, you ought to have some savings. If you want blessings on your blessings, learn how to save. If you want to buy something nice, save your money, go pay cash for it. Blessings on your blessings. Proverbs 24 and 27, prepare thy work without. And make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. You know what? That's a principle in the Word of God. And what it's teaching us tonight is that we ought to put much into preparing before we start building houses and getting married and starting families. That's what he's saying. And so in order to do that, we need to learn how to save. You ought to underline that word prepare. That means that you ought to get established, well established, then start a house, which house in the Bible is a family. Get yourself established first. You know, there's a lot of divorce in this country. And there's a lot of divorce, a lot of reason behind it. A lot of times, it's financial trouble. And a lot of our young families are starting out under such a load of debt. They've not saved, they've not prepared, they've just started out, going to have two car payments, going to build a house, going to put things and vacations and honeymoons on a credit card, and we're going to just have everything right up front. Then we're going to pay and pay and pay, and that's a lot of pressure to start out under. If you'd start saving your money now, you'd find out. Now, I know we're living in days, people say, well, you can't save any money. It's not that you can't save any money, you're just not going to get any interest on any money that you do save. I think if you open a savings account, I think you might could earn 0.01% interest. Now, you math wizards, you know that's a lot of money. You know, once upon a time, you could open a savings account and you could make a little money on your savings account. But you can't do that anymore. But you know what else you can do? You can go out and you can buy a car. Zero down, 0% interest. Boy, that's appealing. People say you can't save any money. But you know what? If a fella saved his money for 5 years at 0% interest, or if he went out and bought a car at 0% interest, if both of them, one of them saved 0% for 5 years, one of them had a payment at 0% interest for 5 years, at the end of 5 years, who saved some money? That fellow that didn't get in debt for 5 years. Even if it's 0%, you say, you can save some money. You say, preacher, how do you save some money? Well, live below your means. That means if you make $500 a month or $1,000 a month or whatever you make, that means don't spend it all in that same month. We have tried to teach our children through the years, 10%, that's your tithe. Save 10%, save 20%, and then take the rest and do with it what you want to. Save a little, tithe, save some money. And then you've got some money to do something with. Live below your income level. So if you want blessings on your blessings, honor the Lord with your finances. Honor the Lord with your future. Look at chapter 14, verse 23. Chapter 14, verse 23 has to deal with something that a lot of people don't like to talk about. That four-letter word. Work. But you know, whether you like it or not, or whether you're up to it very much or not, one of these days you're going to have to get around to it. You're going to have to just go to work. I've got some friends that I think are still in college. I don't know how they pulled that off. But there's always a few. All they've ever done is went to school all their life, and the rest of us had to go to work. So most of you are going to have to go to work one of these days. And here's what the Bible says, Proverbs 14:23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. That's being in debt and being in poverty, just sitting around talking, you're not going to make anything. But the Bible said, in all labor, there is profit. You are going to have to work in your life. And as you think about going to work in your life, you ought to make up your mind to be like the servant in Ephesians chapter 5, or in the book of Colossians, which basically just says you're going to honor your master. You ought to be a good worker. You ought to be useful. You ought to be courteous. You ought to do what you're asked. You shouldn't whine and complain. You ought to be early. When you start working, you ought to make yourself valuable. There's still work. May not be as much work as there was once upon a time, but if you'll be a Christian about your work, you will be able to find work. And God will bless you in your work if you'll honor the Lord. But you ought to do these things in your work life. I told Noah, he works part-time at the radio station, and I've noticed over the years there's a lot of turnover. Oh, let me tell you, there's a lot of nice-sounded voices. I don't have one on, but there's a lot of radio voices. But I told Noah, I said, if you ever think you might want to have a future there, you need to learn to do the thing that when everything falls apart, that's the man they go and ask, what are we going to do? And as far as I can tell, there's one man over there that is not disposable. Everybody else could be replaced pretty quick. There's one man, I said, if you'll learn how to do his job, you'll have a future there. But all the rest of them, boy, they turn over pretty quick. That one man, when the radio station goes down, he knows what to do. He went one time and found out on Beach Mountain, he was telling me that a spider had crawled in between the ground. I don't understand all this. But it had fried that spider and it knocked out the whole radio station. You learn to do what that man knows how to do and you'll have a job. Just to talk real nice and read a piece of paper, well, they might find somebody that talks nicer than you do. So you just learn to be valuable in your work and honor God in what you do, and buddy, he'll bless you. You'll have blessings on your blessings. Honor the Lord, the Bible says. Don't ever do anything in your work that dishonors God. You know, we've got a Dollar General opening up across from us, and we are so excited about that. I'm kidding. Somebody said, oh, that'd be a good place for Abigail to go over and get her first job. And I said, yeah, and she'd go over and sell cigarettes. That's what I want my daughter doing. All this bunch coming in off the road and hanging around and all that stuff. Now, if you work at Dollar General, I'm not throwing off. I don't care. But you young people, y'all just make up your mind while you're young that you're not going to do anything in your work life that dishonors God. Anything that you wouldn't want to be found doing when Jesus Christ comes again, don't get a job doing that. I'm just trying to give you some good advice. That means you ought to never do anything just for money or just because it seems like a good thing. That's an irrelevant thing. You know, when I got out of the Air Force, I could have went to college on the GI Bill. I investigated into that, and they would have paid for my school. I earned that. I think it's a good thing. GI Bill, some of you know about it. I don't even know if they do it anymore, but I could have went to college. But you know what? I'd have had to go to the college that the government approved of. And I just didn't think I could get a good Christ-honoring, solid, biblical education over at Appalachian State. And so you know what I decided to do? I decided to go to Victory Bible Institute and just paid my own way. I'm glad I did. Don't ever do anything just for money. Don't ever do anything in life just for money. Money's the root of all evil. Trying to help you tonight. Never take a job that'll take you away from the Lord's house. Just don't even look for it. Don't even desire it. I can honestly say tonight, I have always had a desire, and it's just by the grace of God, but I didn't want to do anything that was going to take me out of church. You know what? I've never had to get a job that took me out of church. Now, I know sometimes people do things, law enforcement. My dad drove a truck and for years and years, and sometimes he'd have to leave on Sunday. I'm telling you, that's a hard thing on us when dad wasn't there with us to go to church on Sunday. It's not the best circumstance. If you'll make up your mind, you're going to honor God and you're going to do what would please the Lord in your life, I believe God will bless you so much, you'll never have to get a job where you're away from the Lord's house and it takes you away. You know, the Bible says over in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm getting close to being done, but it said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, he's talking about worrying about tomorrow and what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed. All the Gentiles seek after these things. But in verse 33, he said this. You ought to take this as the last verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Just put God first, and he'll take care of all this other stuff. Put the Lord first. Honor him with your future. Best thing you can do is find God's will and do it. God will take care of you. Well, they told me when I got out of the Air Force, they said, you'll starve. That's what the man told me. He used those words. He said, you'll starve. He said, there's no jobs out there. What are you going to do? I said, God called me to preach. I got to get out of the Air Force. I'd like to run into that fellow again. I guarantee, I'm not betting, but I'd bet you that I'm better off than he is. I bet God's blessed me more than he blessed him. Because all he could see is dollar signs. But I want to do the will of God with my life. God's took care of us. He's blessed us. I praise his name. Honor him with your finances. Honor him with your future. And honor him in your family. Last of all, honor him in your family. You're young. A lot of you are still in school. You don't have a job yet. You say, what am I supposed to do, preacher? I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You are supposed to honor God in your family right now where you are. Say, preacher, how do I do that? Ephesians 6 and 1 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor, that's that same word, by the way. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Honor God in the present. Just do the best where you are right now. Honor your parents. Do good in school. Be a good testimony. Try to win your friends to God. Just do your best right now where you're at. Honor God in the present. Honor God in the prospect. Now, 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, and I know we've got a huge range of young people here tonight. But honor God in the present, that's where you are in your family, but honor God in the prospect. What I mean by that, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. You know what the Bible says over there? It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, I am anti-dating. I say, if you can find me dating in the Bible, I'll go along with it. But I am anti-dating. I wish I'd have had all the money I wasted on girls before I met my beautiful wife, and it wasn't a lot, but I'd still like to have it back. You know what dating is? It's just divorce practice. Try one, cast them aside, try another one, cast it aside. I don't know what I'm for, though, because I'm going to come to that day sooner than I'd like to, I think. I'm going to invent something else. Here's what I'm inventing. I'm going to invent prospecting. Now, I'm not for dating, but I realize there's got to be some prospects. And these young girls and these boys, they're going to, boy, we don't want them to get there, but they're going to start looking for a prospect. But I will say tonight, whatever you do, don't prospect a lost person. I do know that you're headed down the wrong road. If you start thinking about, I can't even say the word, going out with a lost person. Getting interested in a lost person. Prospecting a lost person. God said that you ought not to be unequally yoked together. If there's a young man or young lady out here that you're praying about and seeking God's will about, you know what? If they won't go to church or they don't go to church, I would just put them in the same category as a lost person. Because if you tonight are saved by the grace of God, you're interested enough to come back out, you'd like to have blessings on blessings, you don't want to marry a lost person. You don't want to be unequally yoked together. So honor God in your present, honor God in your prospect, and honor God in your precept. Now precept's another Bible name for the Word of God. The Bible said in Amos 3 and 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I think we ought to be agreed. I think one of the first things, if you're thinking about liking somebody, you ought to find out if they're saved, and you ought to find out what they believe. Because can two walk together except they be agreed? And that's talking about being agreed upon the Word of God. I've heard people preach messages on why I'm a Baptist. I told Kim a while back, I said, I'm going to preach a message on I'm a Baptist. Why aren't you? I believe I'd enjoy that more. I know why I'm a Baptist. Why aren't you? Anybody to honestly study the Scriptures will come to the conclusion that they ought to be a Baptist. I really believe that. And if somebody showed me something else that's closer to being a Baptist, I'd be that. But I'm telling you, if I wasn't a Baptist, I'll tell you what I'd be. I'd be ashamed knowing what I know. Knowing our real history, I'd be ashamed. You know, America is a Baptist nation, whether people realize it or know it or not. All of the great things about America came from the Baptist people. Do you know where they got it from? This book. Can two walk together except they be agreed? There's a lot of people gets married and they are say, well, we're both saved, but they are doctrinally so far apart, it's nothing but trouble. All their married lives. Honor God in the prospect. So if I was prospecting somebody, I'd say, you born again? You sure you're born again? You're saved? If you died, you know you go to heaven? Yes. Well, we'll check that off. Are you a Baptist? You know why you're a Baptist? You know what the Bible says? Do you know? And if they wasn't, I'd try to convince them why they ought to be one. There's a lot of good people became Baptist after they got saved. Say, you're a Baptist? You believe this book? I'll check that one off. And I'd ask them, what Bible do you use? I really would. Well, that's a big issue. It is with me. I'd say, you got a Bible? You believe this Bible's the Word of God? I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about this Bible, Grandpa's Bible, Grandma's Bible. You got a Bible? If we can check them three things off, we might think a little farther. But I think that's important. Don't you? You young people, if you'll honor God in that. Now you go out here and get somebody and people think I got to have something right now. You get the wrong something and you will have something. You'll have heartache and trouble and pain all your adult life. Well, that's not a profound message, but if you desire the blessings of God upon your blessings, that'd be a good place to start for you young people. If you'd start right there, that'd be a good start in life. I want blessings on my blessings. Is that being selfish, preacher? I don't know if that's being selfish or not. But I'll tell you what the Word of God said. The Word of God said if you would honor the Lord with your substance, that He would bless what you'd already honored Him with. That's a blessing on a blessing. So I don't think it's selfish to just desire what God said He'd do. Now, I appreciate your good attention tonight.